Good morning. Let's just bow our heads before God right now and seek His intervention in this time that we have together. And Lord God, we would come before You as Your people. Father God, we look to You as the author and finisher of our faith. Lord God, we would seek You this morning that as we look to Your Word, that You would break open something in each of our lives, that we might walk out more the people that You want us to be into this week ahead. So we lift this time up to You in Jesus' precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Well, all of us, or some of us, may have worked with that person who habitually turns up late. They're on time because they're always 5 minutes late, on time. So you can pretty much guarantee that that 5 minutes into the shift, they walk through the door. And I'm one of those people that like to turn up half an hour early, so I'm ready to start at the time. And then miracle of miracles, that person sometimes walks in either early or on time. And everybody, like, it's like silence. It's like one of those Western bar scenes, and they look and think, what happened to them, you know, and... You know, some of us with children, we might have had that experience, and I'm sure you all have, of raising a very small baby, and then all of a sudden one night that baby sleeps through the night. And that seems to be a miracle, doesn't it? Or, you know, as those babies grow into teenagers, one day you walk past their room door and it's open and you look in and you can see the carpet. That is a miracle. Yeah. My kids, I'm leaving them right out of this. I'm not saying a word about them. So, but of course, you know, here in Australia and probably many other countries, we are prone to exaggeration. And really, we use words a little too liberally, because seriously, none of those things are truly miracles. And I want you to look at a definition I have hopefully up over my shoulder here. And this is the definition of miracle. And it's an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. Well, clearly those things don't fit in this category. Such an effect or event manifesting or considered as a work of God. That's a miracle. They are miracles. You know, I guess sometimes we can be quite flippant with our language, and really I think that that has the effect of diminishing some really amazing core truths about our faith, about God, about all the things that He is. And so what I want you to do is I want you to shake off your previous conception about miracles right now and think a miracle can only be done by God. So dump all that out the back door. We know that miracles can only be done by God. Because we're Christians, we believe in God. You know, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Every ounce of power that could exist is contained within God. He is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all of the time. You can't hide from Him. We see in instances in the Scriptures where people attempt to hide from Him, but there He is. Maybe we do that ourselves, but God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. This is our miraculous God. He is omniscient, which means He has a complete, unlimited knowledge, awareness, and understanding of everything. Let's grab a hold of that. This is our God. This is who He is. These three words, they sound like great big theological words, but they contain incredible truths about the magnificence and power of who God is. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Did you know that He is the one true God? There are many challenging ideas that float around each and every day that challenge this thought that we might have. And sometimes even in the church, you will find people say, oh, yeah, well, maybe. Well, no, not maybe. The God of the Bible is the one true God. At the same time, He is separately the God the Father, God the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. And in that three persons, he always acts in communion with one other. Each of these three persons of God are attributed to different roles in the passage of creation and time, but as each act, it is the one true God who acts. Now, is this starting to blow your mind? His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's three in one. As each one acts, they all act, but each one has its own role, or his own role. He's the one true God. God is outside of our realm of understanding to a great degree. Anything that he wants us to know, he lets us know about him. But let me tell you, there is so much more to know about God than probably any of us will ever grasp. So don't ever think that you've reached the echelon of understanding who God is. The Trinity is both simple to grasp. I hang on to it. I'm a bit of a literalist. It's the Trinity is the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's simple to grasp and complex to understand, maybe even harder to describe or explain. As the triunity of God is not a construct of humanity. So it's something that comes from above. But we know it because God has revealed it to us. God is an enigma in a lot of ways. He's miraculous by nature. Think about it. It says God is spirit. God is a spirit. Anything that he does in connection with us is miraculous in its own way. Because what is natural, we can do things that are natural. I can speak with Pastor Jeff. He can speak with me. That's natural. But when God speaks to each one of us, either individually or together or any one of you, a miracle is happening because the Spirit of God is at work in and through that communication. You know, when God wants us to be in no two minds about what he wants us to understand, oftentimes we see that manifest as miracles, signs, and wonders throughout the Scripture. Would you agree with that? Exodus 4, 1 to 5. This is an example. And you'll be familiar with this story, perhaps. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it up by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, "that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." So here we have God manifesting a miracle in that man's life so that others might be in no two minds about what God is at work and what he is about to do. God wants us to know certain things. Other things are harder to discover. But sometimes things that God wants us to know come in miracles, signs, and wonders. And we know, of course, in that story that over a period of time, the Pharaoh lets the people of Israel go, and they head out with Moses at the front, and they're led to the edge of the Red Sea. And of course, we know then that the Egyptian army chases after them, and they're trapped there and then. And yet another thing happens, another miracle happens at the hand of God. And in Exodus 4:14-31, it says, "And Israel saw that the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses." And what was that thing? It was the parting of the sea. It was the passing through of the people, and it was the deliverance of them from their enemies. And God demonstrated this through an act of miraculous power. And you know what? We read throughout, and we're talking about the life of Jesus this month, and I was just thinking about sitting there, and Pastor Jeff was talking about the triumphant entry, and the people were singing out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and they were bowing down to him. Now, by this time, they knew who he was. There were certain things that had taken place over time that convinced them that he was the Messiah. Some stuff happened after that, of course, and we know that, that sort of defies that, and we wonder why, but we do know why. So we read in throughout the New Testament, and particularly we're talking about the time of Jesus' ministry in those few years, that Jesus went about doing certain miracles, acting out some signs and wonders. And I'm not going to go through all those today. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with them, but they are categorized a bit like this. This is just what's recorded. There were 21 instances of healings. There were 5 instances of deliverance from evil spirits. We know that he calmed a stormy sea when his disciples were frightened in that boat. And he raised people from the dead. He raised the widow's son. He raised Jairus' daughter, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. These are things that were witnessed by people. They saw Jesus at work. And then, of course, there were a number of other unusual activities that Jesus went about, like feeding lots and lots of people with a small amount of food, like walking on water and such. You know, all of those miracles, I think all of them, and I looked at them and I thought about them and I thought all of these miracles benefited either an individual or a number of people that were there at the time. So there was a purpose there for those miracles to be carried out, for Jesus to do those things. But they also were there for another reason. And they were there for the reason to show the people that Jesus was truly the Son of the living God, that he was truly God himself. He did all of those things so that people would be in no two minds about what and who Jesus was. Matthew 11, 4 to 6. And this is a time where John is wondering who is this Jesus, and he sends his followers out, and they go to Jesus and say, John wants to know who you are. And Jesus answered, and he said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And you know, Jesus and people would have known, John would have known right then, that he was referring back to a prophecy that was written about the coming of Jesus in Isaiah 35. And also, John 20, 30 to 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Have you ever thought about that? There were, I would think, 3 years. We're only talking 37 that I've just mentioned there. Some people would say 40, but 37-ish. Only 37 there over 3 years is not many. I could probably knock off 37 in a month. And so I'd imagine there's a lot more miracles, signs and wonders that Jesus did over that period of time of his ministry. And it says that. There were many others that are not written in these books, in this book. But these are written, these ones are written about. Here they are in the book that you now carry around and see, and maybe it's in your phone. These things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You know what? Jesus could easily have come to this earth and not done any signs and wonders and walked around and attempted to demonstrate to people that he was the Son of God. But that was outside of the prophecy if he had done that. But there was an important role of the miracles that manifested through his obedience. And it's so that you might believe and have life in his name. There's a scripture I'm going to read. It's not available for projection today, but this is when Jesus appeals to Philip. And he says to Philip, he wants Philip to really believe who he is. You know, you've been around me for a long time. I want you to really know who I am. And he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We read that. And sometimes we've heard that, and sometimes that just rolls off our tongue because we've read it so many times. But there's something extraordinarily miraculous about that statement alone. But here is a man, a flesh and blood man, fully man, we are told that, we know that, and he is in the Father. He's talking about God the Father, and the Father is in him. So straight away, he's talking about a miraculous manifestation, which is him. And he's saying, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or, if you can't believe that, believe on the account of the works alone. So he says, if you don't believe what I've said, if you've listened to all my sermons, if you've seen me act, if you don't, if you still don't believe who I am, then look at the works. And the works were? They were healings, resurrections, command over nature. They were unusual acts like feeding many with little and walking on water. He says, if you can't believe that I'm the Son of God, just by I'm here, I've said I am, well, look at the stuff I've done. Amen. Let's not forget the miracles of God are there to build, not only to show us who he is, but to build our faith in him, to build our faith. But what's more, and this is something that I've thought about, and it goes on in John 14, 12. He says, truly, and I don't, I haven't got that one either there, but John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Okay, metaphorically, put up your hand. You can if you want. Put up your hand if you believe in Jesus, if you believe on the name of Jesus. Everybody, I'm hoping, believe on the name of Jesus. Who believes on his word? I believe on his word. I'm challenged by this. It says, because it says, this word of Jesus says, this is really, really true. This is absolutely true. Unequivocally, it's true. This is the truth. You've seen what I've done. You're believing in who I am because of the works that I've done. Well, guess what? I'm going to the Father, and you are going to do them and even more. What are you going to do? You're going to lay hands on people and heal them. You're going to raise people from the dead. You are going to have command over nature. You are going to, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, do interesting and strange things which will point people to Jesus. Jesus. If the church is not active in miracle ministry, then I think that we're missing an opportunity to share the gospel with people. You know what? If Jesus just wanted us to preach the gospel alone with the word saying, you know, believe in Jesus and you will be saved, then he would never have demonstrated the miracles to his disciples and to us through the passage of time in the word. He would never have done that. But no, instead he did it so that we would know that along with our knowledge, along with our testimony, would come works of miracles in our lives. We're a Pentecostal church. I wonder whether it's time for us to start acting out in works of miracles. Just some time ago, several years ago, in fact, I took my son on a camping trip. And we'd planned this camping trip, and it was raining. But I thought, we're doing this thing anyway. And it was a special time. It was a time where I was really going to take Jeremy deeper in the Lord and commission him as a man. That was my plan. It was this thing that was laid on my heart. And there we were. We set up on the edge of this river down Turon Way, and it was dark all around. It was thunder everywhere. And I just went, I just thought, God said, tell the rain to stay away. And I went, okay. So, rain, in the name of Jesus, stay off our campsite for the time we are here. And you know what? I doubted over that 48 hours, because at times it really thundered and you could even feel the mist coming off the rain. But the rain never fell. It never, ever fell on my camp. As we threw the last bit of stuff in the back of the ute, came this rain. You know what? I believe in miracles. What about you? You know, we can limit ourselves. We can be small thinkers. We can look at the miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospels, and we can even perhaps think that, like, they're stories. They're nice stories to be recounted. You know, you remember that time that Jesus raised Lazarus to the dead? Wasn't that so nice? But you know what? These were powerful moments. These were demonstrations of his miraculous power, so that we too, who are commissioned to be his followers, his disciples, to be his hands and feet, to be his body on this earth, they were demonstrated to us so that we would be able to take the miracles forward and demonstrate that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that right? Is that right? God is always at work. I'm going to read this because I liked the way it was written. It says, "The fact remains that he has been at work for eternity past." I like that, Pastor Jeff. You said that just a couple of weeks ago. Eternity past. So that's that time just before the beginning of what we know. At the beginning of time. So he was at work at the beginning of time. And he was, and whilst he was on earth, he was at work, and he is at work now, and he will be at work forevermore. Yeah? Don't ever think that Jesus is not at work. He is at work. Sometimes we might not understand the way that he's working. Sometimes things might not work out the way we would hope they do. Sometimes we demonstrate our faith with great power and earnestness and sincerity without fail, and something might not happen. But guess what? That doesn't mean that we should stop. Let's keep going. Let's keep going, because just around the corner is a miracle for someone's life. And the miracle will be that those people will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they've seen his great power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, just Jesus' miracles are not just contained to his 3 years of ministry. They're right through all of creation. You know, history past, the beginning, and on, as I said, Colossians 1, 15 and 16. We see Jesus as the creator. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in him and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This is Jesus. This is our brother. You know, where he calls us brother. Guess what? You've got the creator of all things as your brother. He's your intercessor. This is Jesus. He is miracle. He is a miracle. You know, this is not a scripture that I have either up there, but Romans 1:21 says, throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them. And it just caused me to think about fingerprints. And Sahara and I were walking on the beach just last week, or this week past, week before, and Sahara picked up a shell. And Sahara loves shells. And marvels at even portions of shells. Look at this. Look how amazing is this piece of shell. I really love the colors, and the coloration is what Sahara says. I love the coloration of this. And I look at it and I go, oh, yeah, cool, another piece of shell. But anyway, I'm a good dad, really. I try hard. Anyway, on this particular day, Sahara picked up a shell and showed it to me, and I looked at it and went, oh, wow. That's really interesting. It's so interesting that I took a photograph. No, actually, Sahara took the photograph. And we're going to put it on the screen, just the first picture of the shell. Right now, there it is. That's just a portion of the shell. The shell, that's about, probably about 5 or 7 centimetres long, about 3 centimetres wide. So I think the shell itself was much larger and probably as intricate, probably even more intricate than that. Have a good look at that. Did you know that in law enforcement, and one of the greatest discoveries was latent fingerprint technology, and it enabled us, them. I'm not them anymore, am I? No. It enabled the law to link offenders to crime simply by them leaving their fingerprint behind. They discovered that no one in the world had the same fingerprint. It's never been discovered. So every day that goes by, that technology gets even more significant. 140 million births a year across the world, and no one is born with the same fingerprint. There are 8.1 billion people in the world today. No one has the same fingerprint. But even so, when I was in that role as a police officer, sometimes you'd find a fingerprint at a scene, and you're excellent, and the fingerprint technician would come along and lift the fingerprint using their magic, and there it would, and they would match it up to a person, and you go, excellent, I've got this wrapped up. Their fingerprint is on the crime scene. And then you take it to court, and the offender would say, well, I was just walking past that place, and I just touched that thing, and that's why my fingerprint's there. And you go, And the court would believe them. But one of the golden things was that if you could get two fingerprints, not just two side by side, but two that grasped an item, because you can't just touch an item accidentally when you're picking it up. And occasionally you would find maybe a beer bottle, and there'd be fingerprints and a thumbprint on the other side. And you had them. It was so good. You know, and the courts would believe that, because there's no way that they could have just accidentally picked that thing up there. And I want to show you something. Now, this is the fingerprint of God here. I look at that, and I cannot, for the life of you, believe that life and form happen by mistake. I can't believe it. I think the evidence is so significant that God has to be the creator. But if you don't believe that fingerprint, he picked this one up. Turn it over, please. There's the other side. And I looked at that and I went, oh, wow, that is so intricate. And it goes all the way inside the shell, that incredible pattern. Who did he put that there for? No one. No one was going to see that. The blinking bug that was inside it, or whatever it was, crustacean, it wasn't going to see it. It was just God. It was just God in his incredibleness going, hey, this is cool. I'm going to put my thumbprint on the inside, my fingerprint on the outside, and no court on the face of the earth is going to be able to say, I didn't make that. He made that. Oh, no, I reckon I could stop there. I think I could stop there. We've got a little bit to go. But you know what? You are the miracle. You are the miracle. I'm not mucking around here. You are a miracle. Not because you got to work on time, not because you slept through the night, not because you picked your clothes up from the floor. None of that. It says, yeah, we know that. We know from John 1:3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. This is Jesus. Everything has been made by Jesus. So it stands to reason, you are a thing. You have been made by him. You are made. Each one of you is unique in every way. Significantly unique, right down to your fingerprint. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14, I think captures this beautifully. So it says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul, it knows very well. Oh, no. Maybe you sit here today and you think, I'm not that great. I'm not that valuable. I'm a little bit underdone. I'm rejected by a lot of people. I'm different. I'm unusual. I don't fit in. I'm not active in ministry. I'm not very helpful in my workplace. I'm cranky with my kids. I'm just a bit worthless. I want you to know that you are a miracle of Jesus Christ. He made you exactly as you are. He is at work in your life this very moment. He wants to do something incredible with your life and take it far beyond anywhere you could ever have imagined it would go. You are a miracle of Jesus Christ. You're a sign. You're a wonder. You are a sign that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he is the creator. Because seriously, if you look at how many cells you started with when you were an embryo to how many cells you've got now, I'll let you research that. You don't know. It'll blow your mind. The incarnate God. Thanks, Rowena, whoever you are. You're not here. So a couple of weeks ago, Rowena talked about the incarnate God, that God became man, that God is spirit. This is a great miracle. And he became a man, flesh and blood. Could you imagine this? That God, he intervened in conception. We know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, but he was born just the same. He grew as an embryo in Mary's womb. And we know from the scriptures that he wasn't just a man, he was fully man and fully God at the same time. Now, this is a miracle. Jesus is a miracle himself, that he is able to take himself from his heavenly realm and place himself in the womb of a woman and be born as a baby and grow as a child and be trained as a man and minister and do all the things that he did. That's a miracle. We've got Easter coming up. I'm not going to get into that because we wouldn't have to have the services, because I could preach on that now, couldn't I? That's economy, no. And but you know what? We know that this man God, fully man, he fully died on the cross. This is a miracle because God is without end. He is everlasting. Jesus is a part of the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet one God. You cannot kill God, but we did. We killed Jesus, God Jesus, the Son of God. We killed him on the cross, fully died. He fully died. There would be some people around, conspiracy theories, that said he never died and blah, blah, blah. That's rubbish. But you know what? Jesus fully rose from the dead. Okay? He wasn't, just a dead a short time and they resuscitated him like CPR. They didn't even know it back then. He fully rose from the dead after he had been dead for some time. Fully rose. He's the miracle man. He is fully risen. You know what? He fully ascended to heaven. There are witnesses that said we saw him taken up. And up he went. And we know that he now sits beside the Father. And he intercedes on our behalf, on your behalf. Jesus is there going, look, Father. Look at him. Look at her. Look at that person. Look, I love them. Do you love them too? Yes, I love them. He fully lives in you. He fully lives in you. Romans 8, 9, and 10, we're getting very close. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But get this. But if Christ is in you, Jesus is in you. He dwells within you. He has taken up habitation in your life by the power of his Spirit. If Christ be in you, and that's a miracle, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Come on, Jesus, he performed miracles in his years on earth, in his ministry, and we see them, we know them. Many of us have memorized them, we know them. But Jesus, that's what he's about. He's about he's supernatural. He's been at work from the very beginning of time. Before that, what was it? History past, whatever it was. Thanks, Jeff. But that one. And so it's just not the miracles in his ministry. You are a miracle. Everything, like all things, he holds in his hand and makes and keeps in existence. If you're ever feeling a bit dull in your ministry, in your walk with Christ, in your everyday walking around life, I really urge you to to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He is working miracles in and through you. What I'd like to do, I know that the worship team has got another song. It's called Revivals in the Air, and they're going to hop up. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. But I would like to pray for anyone that would like prayer. I'm going to put the microphone aside. If you'd like to come down, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray. We've got a challenge. Who would have thought that the miracles that Jesus performed were to be performed by you also? Have you turned your mind to that? Perhaps you would like to have the boldness to begin to walk in the miracles of Jesus in your life each and every day. It'll be a simple prayer. I'll say, Lord Jesus, give him, give her boldness in the name of Jesus to work miracles, signs and wonders so that they might know you. That will be the prayer. If you want that prayer, come on down. If you don't know Jesus at all, if you wonder, I actually really need to get to know Jesus, because today I've been convinced that Jesus is the Son of the living God by his fingerprints alone. If you want to know him, come on down. I'll pray a prayer. I'll pray a prayer with you. So we're going to start, lead away. I'm going to put my microphone down, put this thing aside.
Yeah, why don't you stand with us as we sing?